The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
The palace announcing the Queen passed peacefully this afternoon at her Balmoral estate there in Scotland. The royal family gathering there throughout the day for a final goodbye to Britain's longest serving monarch.
Crowds have been gathering all day outside Buckingham Palace, as you see the live pictures there, as news of the Queen's dire health spread. An unfamiliar moment in a nation where nobody under age 70 has ever lived without Queen Elizabeth as their king. Think of it that way.
Yeah, and just 2 days ago, the Queen meeting with the new Prime Minister, British Prime Minister Liz Truss, for what was likely the final official picture of the 96-year-old monarch.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, may God rest her soul. The Queen has passed away. News broke earlier today that she was not doing very well. And, you know, quite often in British tradition, they understate rather than overstate. And messages or word came out that the doctors were very concerned. And, of course, analysts immediately went into, well, what does that actually mean, that they're very concerned? And then just hours later, I had gone to Mass, got out of Mass, and got word that the Queen has passed away. And as you heard in that audio clip there, you know, so many people have known her their entire life. I heard somebody say that nobody alive after 70, you know, you know, 70 or under, 72 or under, forget the exact age, somewhere in that proximity, they know no other leader other than her, right? She died at the age of 96, 70 years, 7 months on the throne. England will soon have a king. Her son Charles has succeeded her to the throne, King Charles III. Now, what unfolds in the days ahead, we'll give you a breakdown on that coming up in the days ahead. It's a long process. It's going to play out over a couple weeks, at least 10 days. So there'll be a lot of coverage, and you're going to be, I'm sure, hearing a lot of it. How long will Charles III stay on the throne? That's a big question, right? That's anyone's guess. Right now, let's pray for the family who are mourning. Let's pray for the repose of her soul, for the salvation of the new king, and for the conversion of the people of Great Britain. And why don't you join me? Maggie had said to me right before coming into the show here, she says, why don't we pray together as a family, Drew, the memorare, and we'll pray for the repose of the soul, not just of the queen, but all those that God is calling home. But we'll lift up her in a special way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To you we come. Before you we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, please despise not our petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What a beautiful day, though, to be called home to God. I was sitting back here thinking, it's my sister's birthday today, right? My oldest sister, Alicia, I called her on the way back from Mass, too. And then I got the word that the Queen passed away. And I thought, wow, Our Lady's feast day. Today is the feast of the birth of Mary. It's also, you know, prayerfully the birth of the Queen into heaven. So, Queen of Heaven, of course, we know our spiritual mother here was assumed into, you know, she was assumed body and soul into heaven. And that was because, we know that she was given a life of extraordinary grace, protected by the singular, act of grace of her divine Son. And today we celebrate the birth of the Blessed Mother, one of the few birthdays that we actually celebrate. I think it was Father Rocky pointed this out, and somebody can correct me if I'm missing one. I think there's three. We celebrate the birth of Our Lady today, right? We celebrate also the birth of Jesus. Of course, it's Christmas. You know who the other birthday is that we celebrate? Any guess? It took place in June. John the Baptist, birth of St. John the Baptist. So three great feasts. And why the birthday? How do we know the Blessed Mother was born on this day, right? Well, you know, if you take a look at the calendar, if you will, the traditional date of the feast has always been September 8th. Why? Because it falls exactly 9 months after the feast of the Immaculate Conception of Mary. So Who knows? I'm just so devoted to Our Lady. Somebody said to me today, are you going to make Mass? And I was running late because I had to go into the network. We had some things going on, and I was going to try to make a little bit of a later Mass or go tonight. And I said, you know, I'm going to go now. I'm going to put God first. I'm going to put him first, and I'm going to allow God to make the time that I need to get where I need to be, to get ready for today's broadcast with you. And it made me think of a story of Padre Pio. And you might have heard this before. Again, I hope I don't butcher it too badly. I'm recalling it from memory. It's been a while since I heard it. But I shared the story of always putting God first in your day. You might think right now you don't have enough time to pray, right? I'm too busy, Drew. I got to get to work. I got to get home. I got to pick up the kids. I have to make dinner. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I don't have time for prayer. You know, I say to you, make time for prayer. And the reason I say that is this. There was a very famous story of Padre Pio. There was a woman who used to, bring him bread every morning, something for his breakfast. And she went to the rectory, and she was delivering him something. I forget exactly what it was. I know she needed bread, and she was bringing something else to him. And when she gets to the rectory, she lives in part of this village. She had to walk probably a mile and a half to get to church every morning. She gets there and she goes back into the sacristy where Padre Pio is just beginning to don his vestments, right? And she realizes, oh no, I totally forgot the bread. I forgot his food for breakfast. So she realizes, you know, I'm going to sacrifice Mass. I'm not going to go to Mass today. Instead, I'm going to walk back. I'm going to get this. So when he's done his celebration, when Mass is over, he'll have something to eat. And she walks back, gets her bread or whatever it was she forgot. She comes back into the sacristy, was going to leave it there as he was probably finishing up Mass, and to her shock and absolute amazement, what does she say? She sees Padre Pio like exactly where she left him. It was as if though time somehow stood still. He had just put on his vestment, as if though 30 seconds to a minute has disappeared. And the lesson there, look, how do you explain that? You don't. The only way I explain it, God's in control of all things. He's the creator of time, and he can certainly suspend the laws of it. He can suspend time. He can make it stretch. He can compress it. You know, in the end times, in the end days, the days will be shortened. What does that mean, right? Will time kind of accelerate? Do you ever feel that as you get closer to the end of your life? Doesn't it feel like time is accelerating? Doesn't it feel like it's racing by? Seems that time sometimes is in flux. Here's a man who bore the wounds of Christ, who prophesied. Can anybody float off the ground? Can you levitate? No, it's impossible, right? Can you read souls? No, it's impossible, right? You know, can you heal? I mean, these are all things that Pio did. So why can't we believe that God, if he allowed this man to bear the wounds of Christ and lose a pint of blood a day, right? Why wouldn't God perform this miracle? Maybe to communicate to you. Maybe this is a message for you today. That you need to make time for God. So I made time for Mass. I said, I'll go later. But you know what happens when you put Mass off to later? You know, it's like, something else gets in the way. Next thing you know, I'll just go tomorrow, right? I say to you, if you can, make time for God first. Say, you know what, before I run these errands, before I do whatever, I'm going to make time for prayer. It was somebody who said that to me, and I don't want to get too off track here. I want to bring you up to speed on all the news that's going on. Somebody had often said that to me. They said, you know, I have so much work. He was a very successful executive, and, you know, there was always paper on his desk, and there's always meetings to be in and all sorts of stuff to do. And he says, I don't care what happens. He says, I'm blocking out these 30 minutes for personal prayer. And he would do it every day. And he says, Drew, it's unbelievable how the amount of work that I would normally get done in a regular day, I would get more done. I don't know how I did it, whether the angels helped or the Holy Spirit came or the time slowed. I don't know how it happened. I would always be more productive on the days that I prayed first. And just as a broadcaster here from a personal perspective, I do the same thing. I make sure I pray every day. If I don't pray, I'm not as sharp, right? The mind isn't as clear. The show sometimes may not flow as well. Perhaps I'm not as eloquent as I should be. The days I do pray, the days I say, you know, I'm putting this first, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit orchestrates. It really, so that's my advice. Yeah, I wasn't going to talk about that today, but, you know, I just, on this great day, you know, the Feast of Our Blessed Mother, I just say to you, make that time for prayer. You can join Father Rocky tonight for the rosary. Of course, he's going to be praying that at 7 p.m., or if you do a quick search in your area, there might even be Mass in your local area. I think Relevant Radio, if you go to our app, relevantradio.com, we've got a a feature on the app that will tell you where Mass is near you. And can you ask Patrick Maggie to check that out for me? I'm pretty sure that's there. I don't have my phone on me right now. But you can do a quick search, and it'll tell you, you know, where Masses are, where confession is, that whole type of thing. So check that out, all right? And you get the Mass, make time for prayer. Pray for the Queen. Pray for those that God is calling home. Let's pray for our country as well. Yeah, I've been following what's going on just in the nation at large. And, you know, I try to stay ahead of the curve for you. I want to be here for you. I want to be here to give you a look at life that you're not going to get anywhere else. And I want to give you a look at what's been unfolding. I was there as COVID unfolded. When everybody said it was over, I said, no, I think we're going to be in it for the long haul. And I was right. I warned about what happens after Obergefell, you know, how persecution and religious challenges are going to take place, how there might even be persecution. And I've been monitoring these attacks on churches, right? They're happening all over the place. There's been an absolute vicious attack on churches. I've been monitoring the water supplies and how that they are dropping. Speaking of the attack on Christianity, if you thought you could live in a world today that's neutral to Christianity, then I don't know, maybe you think you can. And maybe you think, yeah, it's not that bad, Drew. It's always been like this. Or maybe you say, no, you are right on, brother. You know, keep your finger on the pulse of it. Make sure that everybody hears what you're saying. I want to share this with you. I want to share with you a report. The Religious Freedom Institute reports that since the leak of the draft of the Supreme Court Dobbs decision on May 2nd, there have been criminal attacks on 63 pro-life organizations in 26 states and the District of Columbia. 63 pro-life organizations. Imagine if that was 63 Planned Parenthoods, right? Could you imagine that in 26 states and more than half the states across our continental union here? Come on. Are you crazy? There have also been 32 Catholic churches attacked since the Dobbs leak. 17 of those attacks, it was clearly about abortion. It didn't start with Dobbs. According to the report, since late May 2020, attacks have occurred against at least, now check this number out, just I want to give you the big view here, 174 Catholic targets. 174 of them in 38 states in the District of Columbia, including arson, desecration, defacement, property destruction, theft, and a whole battery of other state and federal crimes. I was going to share with you a story because there was a statue of Our Lady of Fatima that was stolen. And I was going to call you to pray for it, but the word is, as I came into the studio here, somebody says, guess what? It's been returned. So that's good news. But it's all part of this bigger picture. Churches are being burned. Statues are being stolen. This is not new in our country. It's happened in the 19th century. It's happened in the 1960s. But the difference between the 1960s and today, we had a Catholic president then, right? John F. Kennedy, right? JFK. He came out, and JFK, he condemned what was going on. He condemned the church burnings. Our Catholic president today isn't doing so much of that. So say a prayer for him, okay? And say a prayer also for those who are being persecuted and jailed for standing up for truth. I don't know if you heard about this Irish Christian teacher who's been jailed for rejecting, get a load of this, pronouns. Yeah. Trans pronouns. Enoch Burke, that's his name, sent to prison for breaching a high court order preventing him from teaching at the secondary school where he was employed, where he refused to use compelled speech. You don't think there's persecution? Huh? Listen to this.
Enoch Burke was taken from the High Court this evening to Mountjoy Prison. He was jailed for breaching an injunction granted last week and for refusing to give any undertaking that he would stop breaching it. Mr. Burke was arrested this morning at the school where he works, Wilson's Hospital in County Westmeath. He was suspended from the school last month on full pay, pending the outcome of a disciplinary meeting due to take place later this month. The disciplinary process began after he confronted the principal at a school event in June. At the end of a church service, he voiced his opposition to an earlier request by the principal to call a student who wants to transition by a new name and to use the they pronoun. The school says he then approached the principal again and questioned her loudly until others stood between them. Despite the suspension and the subsequent injunction preventing him from attending and attempting to teach, Mr. Burke continued to go to the school during his timetabled hours. He told the High Court he didn't want to go to prison, but he said a teacher could only be suspended for an allegation of gross gross misconduct. He said his religious beliefs were not misconduct. He said bowing to something he knew to be manifestly wrong would be a shame and disgrace and a terrible example to students, and he said it would violate his conscience.
Wow. God bless him. It takes courage. I can talk a good game, right? I just pray to God I'm never put to these tests. I mean, to lose your job, right? For standing up for something that is right and just. I know wherever you might be sitting now or listening to me, you might think, oh, I would do that too. I would certainly do that. Would you really? I sometimes think, in my mind I would. Oh, I would lay my life down for this. I would do this. I would do that. I think at times I've been sometimes challenged and been kind of sheepish or meek in my response. When I think back in retrospect, I should have been far bolder. I was younger in my faith then. I remember I was working on a documentary years ago, and there was some other filmmaker who really had a problem with these reports of the Mother of God appearing around the world. And he was trying to license footage from my company at the time to create his documentary, and I'm sure he was going to bash the heck out of our Blessed Mother. So, dear lady, forgive us and forgive him in a particular way for the times we fail your son and you. But I remember at the time, as I said, I wasn't super deep. I wasn't as deep as I am today in my faith. I wasn't as bold. I didn't speak out. I wasn't willing to lose his respect. I wasn't willing to be seen in the industry, as somebody that maybe I don't know what I thought. I don't know what I thought. I kind of regret that to this day. But there's going to be opportunities for all of us to stand up and speak truth. There's going to be opportunities for you when your children say, look, I want to get married to a person of the same sex, or somebody who's, wants to use these wacky pronouns, or, who is making arguments for contraception or for whatever. I mean, we can go through the whole litany of things that often challenge us, right? And it might be hard. Maybe you got to speak up in the school. Maybe you got to speak up at the workplace. Maybe you got to speak up within the family or amongst friends or amongst relatives. It's hard, right? It's not easy. It's tough. And I got to take the plank out of my own eye before I take the speck out of anybody else's. And I think we should all just pray for the grace we need so that we can, in a particular way, always speak truth. But there's going to be more of this. There's going to be more desecrations, more church vandalisms. There's going to be more attacks on those who are promoting life. And there's going to be more discrimination against you and against me and against people of faith. That's just the culture we live in. I guess we should rejoice in that, right? Because blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake, right? That's us. Think of how great our reward will be. Hey, Maggie, you just told me during the break, Relevant Radio does have that app. Can you tell everyone, Maggie, how they can access that, the app I was talking about, if they want to find out where Mass or Confession is? Because this is a gem. So if you're listening, you've never downloaded the Relevant Radio app, go do it right now. Go to the Google Play or go to the Apple Store. Download the app, have it on your phone. We're revamping it right now, too, so we're actually going to be coming out with an even better version of it soon. You'll get that upgrade. But, Maggie, where is this? I know Patrick searched it out for us.
Yes, thanks to Patrick for looking it up. On the menu, there is an option that says Pray, and you hit that, and then it says Mass Near Me, and that helps you look up churches in your area, masses in your area.
Cool stuff. I mean, you will love it. I use apps like that all the time. If I travel, I'm like, well, where's church? Or what time is Mass again at this church? Or, where else can I go to confession? You'll love it. RelevantRadio.com. You can go there. But if you go to your app stores, whether you're using an Android or an Apple, just type in Relevant Radio. Super popular app, filled with prayers, filled with live streaming, filled with all sorts of great stuff. So go do that today if you could. Speaking of phones, Maggie, I know you're a Mac girl or an iPhone girl. You got an iPhone, right?
Yes.
Hey, but you have an older version of one. You just upgraded your phone, right?
I just got a new one.
No, Maggie, no. Go bring it back.
No.
Are you kidding me? iPhones, if you're an iPhone user, I just saw this report. You're going to see a lot more ads, I think, popping up because it seems that the market for iPhones has reached a saturation rate. So in order to increase revenue, Apple has started selling ads, and they're starting to bite into the ad revenue for both Google and Meta, and that's the owner of Facebook and Instagram. But they just came out with new iPhones, iPhone 14s. So I don't know what version yours is, Maggie. My wife doesn't want to let her phone go. She's like a 7 or something.
Kathy.
Hers is back there. She's like, I like my phone. I don't want to upgrade it.
Fine.
I tried to get her to the 12 and the 13, and I was like, okay, it's 14. Why not? Live with it. So they came out, but they didn't raise prices, probably in response to inflation. So normally every year these phones go up to, they cost you as much as a television set anymore, probably more. have not gone out, but the new ones are out, so you're going to see a lot more ads for that as well. Hey, I only got a couple minutes. I do want us to pray at the chaplet, which is about 35 minutes away, for the country, and my heart goes out to everyone who is really suffering right now. The states that take water from the Colorado River, man, they're facing hard choices right now as river levels continue to drop. And this is something I've been watching, something I've been bringing to you, something I really want to ask you to pray for. I'm concerned about this. California is facing the most cuts. It takes, I think, more than 4 million acres of water from Lake Mead. That's the nation's largest reservoir, which was created by the Hoover Dam. And we've talked about how low those levels have been and how many bodies have been found and boats that have surfaced. And the LA Times was reporting that the problem with these states and the problems that this, a lot of these Western states are facing is something called deadpooling. You know what that is? Deadpooling is where lake levels could get so low that nothing will flow over the dam and down the river. And besides the lack of water, that would cause, you know, it would also cut back on California's already dangerous low power grid, since the Hoover Dam also produces hydroelectric power for the region. Here's part of a piece from journalist John Stossel. I know you know the name. On this issue of California trying to lead the charge on renewable energy. Before I run it, just give you a perspective on what is happening there. You know that they've pushed for people to get their EVs, right? Now they're telling people not to charge them, not to charge them at all. The temperatures have been brutal there. Forecasts of oppressive heat continue. And, of course, I'll have to tell you the story about how Xcel Energy locked home thermostats in another part of the country. But here's John Stossel. He'll give you a perspective on what's now unfolding.
We could soon see the worst worldwide energy crisis since the 1970s.
A big reason? The world's attempt to switch to cleaner, renewable energy.
We are going to get rid of fossil fuels.
We'll replace fossil fuels, we're told, with solar and wind power.
We can't wait any longer.
The sooner we can get committed.
Johanna Newman's environmental group says it's convincing national leaders to go 100% renewable. 100% would be a very big increase. Now we get 12%. The vast majority of America's energy still comes from oil, natural gas, and coal. California got to 18%, but they have to pay almost twice what the rest of us pay for electricity. And in Europe,
power plants are desperately trying to buy coal because wind energy hasn't performed.
Europe has gone back to coal.
You're right. They're, you know, cranking up some of these old coal-fired power plants, and it's bad for the environment. It's bad for public health.
Coal, the filthiest fuel of all, is now the primary electricity source in the country where Newman was born. Germany had been a leader in renewable energy, but their reliance on wind and sun, plus their closing of nuclear plants, led to Germany not only burning more coal, but becoming more dependent on Russia. Now, Germans pay triple what Americans pay for electricity.
Saying that renewables are not yet powering our utility grid is like critiquing a two-year-old for not being able to run a marathon.
A two-year-old? America's solar and wind subsidies are 44 years old.
Yeah, can you imagine that? You know, we're going to see rolling brownouts. I pray to God we don't see blackouts. CNN was reporting a brutal heat wave baking the West, you know, and has brought record-breaking temperatures. It's threatened widespread power outages. Power outages. I don't know if we're ready for all the draw that this green technology is going to require. I think the problem is we're trying to make the leap too quickly. We're a petroleum-based economy. That's what we are right now. So in California, for example, Sacramento, it hit 116 degrees on Tuesday, the hottest day on record for the state capital, according to the National Weather Service. And then records have been surpassed in Northern California, Utah, Montana. Just take a look at the weather map. It's pretty amazing. Some cities actually shattering, you know, previous daily highs by more than 10 degrees. As a result, what are you seeing? Well, utility companies, they're saying to their companies, you know what? Their customers, hey, hang on a second. We just want to make you prepared for a potential rolling blackout. It's like, really? Are you kidding me? Thanks for the heads up, right? Makes you want a generator, doesn't it? What do you do with a refrigerator full of food or a freezer full of food? What do you do when you can't flush your toilet at some places because you need electricity for your pump or whatever it might be, or run your water? Forecasts right now are showing the heat across a lot of the West is expected to last through at least Friday. And the San Francisco airport hit 97 degrees on Monday. That broke a daily record. Salinas hit 103 degrees. That shattered a previous record of 92 degrees. And then Livermore hit a record high of 116 degrees. One final thought on this. And it's this. There is a company out there, and I chuckled to myself a little bit. I felt bad, but I just thought, how silly, right? Xcel Energy. I'm sure you heard this. They locked the home thermostats of Denver area residents on Tuesday when the temperatures reached 90 degrees Fahrenheit. And you're thinking, what? Yeah, they locked them, I think, at like 78 degrees. So, you know, if it's hot out, 78 degrees is not that cool in your house. So the move alarmed a lot of customers throughout the country. You know, but this move was made through the state's government's AC Rewards smart thermostat programs, and it allows the company to override thermostats in order to ease the draw on the electrical grid, right? Especially during these heat waves, these emergencies. It hasn't been reported very much, so I just want to give you a different perspective on this as I wrap it here and come back on another issue with you. The people who are complaining about this, they voluntarily signed up for this program. I just want you to be aware of it. I would never do it. Yeah, they got some cash incentives. That's great. So while they're complaining about it, they should be careful what they sign. And especially if you are elderly, if somebody you know is suffering from heat stroke, you know, they got to get cool. I mean, I can see some health concerns, some real issues with something like this. But to those who are willing to do it, bravo. I wouldn't complain, but just something to say. Who knows? Well, maybe there'll be a day when everybody has these programmable thermostats, these smart thermostats, and the government passes a policy where, you know, nationally we got to do this. Who knows? I'm just throwing food out for thought. All right. When we return, the Supreme Knight, the Knights of Columbus, will be stopping by. There's a brand new movie out on Mother Teresa. And I don't know if you are aware of what today is. It is also a very special day. And yes, it is the birthday of our Blessed Mother. That's for sure. But I want to share with you something about Mother Teresa when we return. Stay with us.
Your news, the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Your news now.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
I think abortion is the greatest destroyer of peace. Therefore, if the mother can kill her own child out of fear of the child, I suppose, then that's a great poverty. Any nation, not only here, but any nation who allows the destruction of the innocent, of the helpless child, it's a sign of great poverty.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
The beautiful voice of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, of course. On Monday, the church celebrated the feast of Saint Teresa, whom we all know as Mother Teresa. Right? A very remarkable woman who touched the lives of countless people, especially the lives of those in the world that, you know, were often considered the most expendable. You know, the poor, the marginalized, the sick, the dying. And look, it's not just the poor. You think, these were the poorest of the poor. These were the sick. These were the disease-ridden. And she started with those who lived on the streets. She went to the slums of India where there's abject poverty. And there are people laid to die. And she would care for them. You know, she would bring Christ to them. She'd bring love to them. And again, just to give you perspective on this, I mean, there was squalor, there was filth. Many of these people had the most disgusting and disturbing diseases and medical conditions. They've been discarded by their families. They've been orphaned or abandoned by society. And yet this beautiful little woman, you know, she came and she loved. And while in India, other women were attracted to the Christ-like example she gave, and they joined her in a new religious congregation she founded, the Missionaries of Charity. And they eventually expanded to other countries, and we all know them, right? Including here in the States. They established houses in the Bronx, in Washington, D.C., San Francisco. And all of those houses, what did they do? They took care of people when AIDS, you know, when the AIDS epidemic was underway. You know, those who were abandoned or rejected by their families. I mean, it's just so beautiful when you think about the depth, the gravity of what she did. Eventually, of course, Mother Teresa's work caught the eye of a British journalist. He was an atheist, a guy named Malcolm Muggeridge. And he wrote a book. The book was called Something Beautiful for God. And he converted to the Catholic faith. That book spread Mother Teresa's fame all across the globe, something which her lawyer, Jim Toohey, said she endured since she hated the publicity. And again, such an example of great humility. So on this, the 25th anniversary of her death, there is an absolutely wonderful new docudrama out, is really what I should say. It's a little bit different than a documentary, a docudrama. And it's on her life. It's called Mother Teresa, No Greater Love. It's produced by none other than the Knights of Columbus, who do such incredible work. Fathom Events is going to present an exclusive two-day-only event. What's that mean? You can only see it for these 2 days. It's the only days are slotted. So if you say, oh, I'll go next week, you might miss your opportunity. So mark these dates very quickly. October 3rd, that's Monday, and then October 4th. Okay, so you got a couple weeks, some heads up there. I'm joined today by Patrick Kelly. He is the Supreme Knight of the Knights of Columbus, and it's good to have him here with me today. It's so wonderful to talk with you today, Supreme Knight. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Drew. It's really wonderful to be with you on the show.
I took a sneak peek at the trailer for the thing, and looks like it's a hybrid of some really powerful actual video of Mother Teresa, as well as a number of other elements that go into this. I from people I've spoken to, they said it's being called the definitive film of Mother Teresa. So tell us a little bit about it. Why is it so definitive? There's been other documentaries, other things done on this woman's extraordinary life. What makes this so special? And tell us a little bit about what to expect.
Well, yeah, you know, what makes it so special is this. The Missionaries of Charity came to us, to the Knights of Columbus, to produce it. And that really is, I mean, it's a high honor because the missionaries are very protective of the memory of Mother Teresa, as well they should be. Mm-hmm. So they came to us to do this. Now, the Knights of Columbus have had a relationship with the Missionaries of Charity and with Mother Teresa going back about 30 years. So this friendship that we have had with Mother Teresa, I think, grew over the years. And then it resulted in this movie, which it really is the definitive documentary because we had access to all kinds of original footage that the missionaries gave us access to, and then just interviews with people who knew Mother, people that the missionaries put us in touch with. And it really captures her life, I think, for the first time very comprehensively from her as a young girl up until all the work that she did, and even after that in the miracles that led to her canonization.
You know, I'm grateful to the Knights of Columbus. Do so much to advance the cause of patriotism and life in the country, and to support initiatives like this. I think it's what's needed. We need to, in a culture today where we have this disposable mindset, where life has no value, whether it's in the womb or it's the end of life, to bring into focus, to bring, you know, center stage, the example of Mother Teresa, who recognized the dignity of the human person in those in the slums of Calcutta and all over. I just think it's powerful. She, of course, she spoke about how the sin of abortion, disregard for human life, destroys peace, and how the fruit of it is really a nuclear war. So I personally want to say congratulations to the Knights and put a plug in for your organization as well. And gentlemen, if you want to be part of a great organization, check out your local Knights of Columbus. They do incredible work. And on the big scene, things like this, I just think are changing lives. The film, the documentary, or docudrama, was filmed on 5 continents from what I understand. That's a lot of travel. But it also shows her international influence. It wasn't just Calcutta, right? It was globally. What impact does she have today? She's still being felt that way, you know, universally throughout the world?
Yeah, you know, she is. So from this work originally in Calcutta, the missionaries have grown, and now there are 5,000 missionaries of charity around the world. And they're as you say, they're serving the poorest of the poor. The documentary was filmed on 5 continents. Wow. And so what we did is we portrayed Mother Teresa's life, and we showed her life. But then the documentary also shows what the missionaries are doing right now. And for instance, I mean, one of the interesting things we did is we went into Brazil, into Rio de Janeiro, into the very dangerous favelas. And the missionaries work in there. They work with the poor and the drug addicts. Now, interestingly, it can be very dangerous to go into these areas. But if you're with the missionaries, a charity, the drug lords will allow you safe passage because they respect the sisters. And so that was a really interesting aspect. But that's just one example of just how these beautiful nuns go into very dangerous areas to serve the vulnerable.
Yeah. Well, thank God. Thank God for them. I mean, we need them more than ever. I know that one of the great scenes, and maybe you can share the story. I don't know if everyone is familiar with this story. It's one of my favorite Mother Teresa stories, is when she stands up, yeah, in what some people think was a politically incorrect place to do this. And starts talking about the evil of abortion in front of Bill and Hillary Clinton. I'm assuming that's in the film. Is that there or not? Or are we just making an assumption?
You know what we have in the film? We have her saying those same words when she received the Nobel Peace Prize. So she is in front of the Nobel Committee and all these kind of the most elite of the world, and she accepts the prize. Yeah, she gives her speech, and then she says the greatest destroyer of peace in the world today is abortion.
Wow.
And of course, people, you know, the elite are shocked at this, and they don't know what to make of it. But Mother Teresa is the person who could be a better spokesman. I mean, she served the poorest of the poor. She served the vulnerable, and she lived it out every single day. So she had credibility to deliver this message. And then, of course, as you mentioned, she did that when she was at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. And so she was, you know, she had the courage that comes with knowing who she was and really knowing about the human person, the dignity of the human person.
Hey, you know, there's so much that you could include. It's like impossible. You know, somebody would ask me when I used to do documentary, well, what's it going to cost to do this? It's like asking what's going to cost to build a house. You know, well, how many rooms do you want in? Is it 2 stories? Do you want granite? I mean, it's like, you know, and it's so hard with the time frame, you know, 60 minutes, 90 minutes, 120. I mean, how long are you going to, you're on your documentary, and there's so much to her life that to do it justice in a docudrama like this, it had to be difficult. What's the takeaway message from this? Because, I mean, it's so rich. There's so much. People are going to learn so much when they go to see this new docudrama. If you thought you knew Mother Teresa, I think you'll really come to know her in a more intimate way. Again, if you're just tuning in, there's a new docudrama out called Mother Teresa, No Greater Love, produced by the Knights of Columbus. What's the takeaway message from this? I mean, when people are done watching this film, what do they leave with?
Yeah, I think the takeaway is that there are no expendable people, that every person we encounter is made in the image of God, and that Mother Teresa saw Christ in every person. And that I think the greatest takeaway of this is that if we can do that, then we can change the world, right? You know, the other thing too is you could watch a documentary like this and you could say, well, gosh, I could never go to the streets of Calcutta. I could never do what Mother Teresa did. But Mother Teresa said, she said, I can go places you can't go, but you can go places that I can't go. And together we can do something beautiful for God. And I think there is a message in it about surrendering. We each have to surrender to the will of God in our lives, where the Lord has put us. And we have to pray and discern that will and then do it, right? And that's the thing, you know. And Mother Teresa was just a radical example of that.
Yeah. I think it's such a great point because a lot of people were so inspired by her. Many wanted to do what she was doing and who wasn't, right? And there were some people she allowed to join her. But for many others, and to your point, you know, she can go where they can't go. She would tell them, and this is a message for everyone. She would say that love begins at home. And it's not how much we do, but how much we love. How much we put in the action that we do. How much love we put into the action we do. And of course, that's a lot harder. You know, it's a lot harder than maybe just, you know, wiping somebody's face or giving them some food. And that's what we're all called to do. We do that in our local communities, you know, in our homes. We will change the world. Well, I know you got to run. I'm grateful for you being with me today, Patrick. I'm really grateful for the work the Knights do. And let me give you an opportunity for a final plug here. If people want to learn more about the Knights or if they want to come out and see the film, why don't you get everybody reset?
Well, this is what I would do. I would go to the website, MotherTeresaMovie.com. MotherTeresaMovie.com, and you can see a list of where the film is going to be showing in theaters near you on October 3rd and 4th. So you can get tickets at the website and you can go see the film.
Sounds awesome. Well, I look forward to seeing it. Thank you for supporting it. And let's catch up again soon. Okay.
Okay, Drew. Very good.
You got it. That's the Supreme Knight of the Knights of Columbus, Patrick Kelly. And again, they're the strong supporters behind the new docudrama that's out on Mother Teresa. And it really is a timeless thing. It's a message I think that is needed today. I've got to take a pause. Before I do, I'll leave you one final word from Mother. And I just think for those of us who say, gosh, it's so hard to do what she does, or it's so hard, you know, to embrace the message that we should love in all things. I agree. I think it's harder to love the people we live with day to day. You know, that annoying neighbor, that coworker who seems to look for every chance to denigrate you. You know, maybe the fellow student that's gossiping about you or somebody else. We're met with great challenges. It's hard. Maybe it's a family member. It's hard to love. She said this one time. She said, as often as I say to people who tell me that they would like to serve the poor as I do, what I can do, you cannot, she says. What you can do, I cannot. But together, we can do something beautiful for God. And the acting in love, in small things, is how she did something beautiful for God. And that's what you and I are both called to do. I'll be right back.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Connected.
Connected.
Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Pray, hope, and don't worry. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy, coming up next.
Yeah, I can't wait. That is going to be the highlight of my day. I can't wait to pray for you. I've already prayed for you. Today at Mass, I was remembering you. I already prayed a chaplet earlier today, and I was lifting you up and going through some emails late last night trying to hold my eyes open. It's been kind of a tiring run for me the past couple days. I've been all over the place, but looking forward to recharging the spiritual batteries. We'll pray. So if you know somebody or you personally, just say, Drew, I could use the extra prayer. It's hard. You know, I'm going through a difficult time. The prognosis isn't good, or the finances are crushing me, or you know, the relationship is just, it's a slog. Feel free to join us. The number here to get in, and maybe it's not you. Maybe it's that son, that daughter, that sibling, a friend who needs the prayer. Why don't you send them a quick text or call them. Say, hey, we're going to pray the chaplet in about 10 minutes. Why don't you join us today? And they can listen on the station you're listening to if they're in the area. There's 250 stations across the country. I'm sure they can find one. You go to relevantradio.com. You'll see our signals. You can stream it there. You can also download the app. That's a great thing to do. You can listen to it anywhere crystal clear over your app. And if you have those smart speakers, you can throw it to your speakers now too, which is even better, right? Put the phone down next to the speaker and turn the volume up, and we'll pray together, all right? So we'll join together in a few moments. And I, you know, look, I try to be a man of great faith, a man of great trust. I try to pray with complete and total abandonment to God's holy will. And it's hard. And I've been put to the test many times in my life. And I'll be honest with you, I've failed. I mean, I really have been. And I would doubt God. I would doubt whether or not he was going to come through. And thank God for his mercy, because he never failed me. He always came through in the 11th hour and the 59th minute. And he always rescued me from whatever the situation was. And I'd look back and I would see the hand of his providence, the hand of his protection. I'd see how he was orchestrating things behind the scenes. And I didn't even recognize it at the time. And I would vow to him from that moment forward, I will never doubt you. I will always trust you. You are a God of miracles, right? And I'd say it again and again. And the hands of time would march on. And soon I would forget about the trial that I just, you know, came through and how the Lord rescued me, you know, how he calmed the storm. And what would happen? I'd be in another storm. Right? Another difficult challenge of life, maybe a little bit different. And what would I do? Oh, I'll never get out of this one. How's the Lord going to work this out? You know, how's that going to get resolved? How's this going to, you know, all the things we say. It could be your finances. It could be your relationship. It could be your families. I say it could be anything. It could be your job. God has a way out of every single situation. I think of Mother Teresa today as we were talking about her, and she might be a good intercessor for us today. You know, I always love to call upon these litany of the saints. St. John of the Cross had very famously what they called a dark night of his soul. Mother Teresa, she, I don't know of another saint who went through what she went through. So if you're having difficulty right now trusting God or praying, if you, you might be where I was, like, where is God? Yeah, am I praying into the ether? Is he really there? You know, are these prayers going to make a difference? Are they going to work? Mother Teresa went through these long bouts of what have been described as inner vacancy. And I thought that's such a great way of putting it, right? She had these episodes during which she could not feel the presence of God. And I learned so much from her because, you know, so often I would think prayer is feeling, right? I feel God's presence. Oh, my gosh, I can feel in a special way my heart or, you know, him touching me or opening my mind or his love is warm. I mean, sometimes prayer is very palpable. I mean, you can feel the presence of God. It's as if though you entered a, I don't know, another zone, a loving embrace. I mean, it's hard to define what it's like, you know? You're surrounded by the grace of God. You could feel it. But there are times when you don't, right? And Mother Teresa went through this where she could not feel the presence of God. She could not touch his love. She could not feel his grace. And in certain almost desperate moments, this great saint, right, this great example to all of us, she too doubted the very basis of her faith. And I've never read a saint's life where a saint had such an intense spiritual darkness. Never. No one knew that she was tormented. And here's the thing. Like I came to you not too long ago. It might have been the beginning of this year or a couple, you know, maybe it was last year. I was going through a tough time in my prayer life. I was trying to pray. And I don't know. There was this horrible dryness, right? And I asked you for prayer. She didn't tell anyone. No one knew she felt his absence, right? So mystics have long known this trial. It's called the dark night of the soul, the darkness of the soul. There was another Carmelite, John of the Cross, who went through this. And St. Therese, right, the little flower, she described the endless dark night. I think it's a test of saints. I do, and I'm not saying I'm a saint. Believe me, I'm working on my sanctity. But you look at these powerhouse saints, these big guns, right, these paragons. I think it's the test of saints. If you are going through this moment right now where you don't feel God's presence, you don't feel your prayers have any power, where you don't feel God is hearing your prayers, know that God hears them all the more, that they resonate all the louder, that he's closer to you than perhaps you even know. That this great test is a test for all of us. And Mother Teresa's incredible trial, it went on for decades. Decades, 40 years to be exact. And you know what's so striking about that, though, just to give you a perspective on it? Think of the selfless work she did. Does that not make it all the more remarkable? the faith that she had to exercise, not feeling God's presence, not feeling he hears her prayers, when she needs to establish new missionary houses. She needs God's providence to provide. She needs new doors opened. You talk about a paragon of saints, a woman who knew how to pray, a woman who had unbelievable faith. It got so dark that at one point, this absence of God, it got so deep that Mother Teresa sought an exorcist. And she just went to him and said, I need deliverance. You know, and just looking for answers for what she went through. And again, she was not alone. In the end, God prevailed. God returned to her. And Mother Teresa's faith was so great, you know, that even though she felt nothing in her spiritual life and received little consolation in prayer, God did not abandon her. She kept doing what she was doing. And I'll tell you what, God, in a miraculous way, in the very end, confirmed his presence with her. I'll share more of that story with you. But my advice to you, let's pray. God hears our prayers.